Praise God. Isn't the Lord good this morning? God's good this morning. Let's get our Bibles and let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24 and 16. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. And somebody said amen when you get there. All right. Praise God. Proverbs 24, 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Amen. The righteous or the just man will fall seven times, but he rises up. The wicked shall fall, but he's not going to get back up again. Amen. I want to be able to get back up again. And I can do it through what God has given me, the resources that God has given me to live for Him. I'm not in this alone. And you're not in this alone. Amen. We have a God that cares about us and loves us and will help us to make it all the way. And if we think that we're going to make it to heaven without stumbling and falling, then you're not looking at it right. Because there is none righteous, there is none that is perfect. Amen. And we have all fallen. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And I want to talk about the resurrection and how it applies to our life today. I want to go a little bit deeper this morning into this subject of the resurrection. The word resurrection means to stand up again. That's what it means, to stand up again. And the righteous falls seven times, but he stands back up again. And the reason is because we have something that the Muslim faith doesn't have. We have something that the Buddha faith does not have, that all of the other religions of the world, they don't have. They don't have a resurrection. But we have a resurrection. Praise the Lord. We have a resurrection. We have something that is so powerful that it'll help us through anything that will cause us to stumble and fall. Lord, bless the word this morning. We give you thanks for it. Open our ears and our hearts that we may hear and understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. When we talk about the resurrection, we could go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. And Paul was addressing the resurrection here, and he wrote this. He said, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are asleep, are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Now I understand this morning that the apostle here was talking about the resurrection of the dead, but there is another aspect of the resurrection that we need to look at and we need to understand as we walk along this road to heaven. Praise God. That there is the need for us to stand up again. And a good man will fall seven times. A good woman will fall seven times, but there is an understanding. And I hope this morning that I can impart that understanding to us, that we have something that is available to us, and that is the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. It is the Holy Ghost. It is the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. Scripture tells us that. And so it is the Holy Ghost that causes us to stand up again. It is the power of God. When you're dead, you can't stand up by yourself. But when the Holy Ghost moves, Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days, stood back up again. Well, praise God. And if he did, then we can as well. And it will happen in the last day when the resurrection will take place. But there is the need for a resurrection. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. And let's look at this here for just a moment. Verse 16 and 17, Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And of course, this is the story of the garden. And the Bible says in verse 9, out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know, I'm not going to go into a lengthy discourse on the fall from grace in the garden, but Adam and Eve ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They did not eat of the tree of life, and there was a reason for that. Actually, I believe there's more than one reason for that. One of them was that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan told them, you will be like God when you eat of this tree. God's trying to withhold knowledge and the knowledge of good and evil from you. He's trying to hold a blessing from you, and laid an ego trip on God, and it was a lie, and she believed the lie, ate of the fruit of the tree. But the Bible also says that it was pleasant to the eyes. It was a tree to be desired to make one wise, and it was the three things that Satan still uses today: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen. And so I believe this morning that, excuse me, I believe that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because it was a beautiful tree. It was pleasant to the eyes. It was something that when you beheld it, it was good for food. The food looked good. It was it shined. It sparkled. It was a beautiful tree. But the tree of life, which really represents Jesus, there was no form nor comeliness in him. In other words, there was no beauty in his physical appearance. There was nothing about him that said, come to me, or any of that. In fact, when you saw him in a crowd, he looked like the common, the ordinary. There wasn't anything special about his physical appearance. Praise God. And I believe that the tree of life was that way. I believe that it was not a beautiful tree. It may have not had a symmetry, but there were many different aspects to it, and they were drawn to the pleasant. They were drawn to that which looked good. They were drawn to that which they thought would make them feel good. And the Bible says they sinned and fell away from God. Amen. And in fact, God told them that in the day you eat of the fruit of that tree, you shall die. Meaning that now we have the judgment of sin, which is death. And it will bring a physical death. It will bring spiritual death. It will bring spiritual death for eternity if we don't deal with this issue of sin. And so there is only one way that God saw that man could stand up again. Amen. He fell in the garden. He was not standing upright spiritually, but he had fallen into sin, and there was no redeemer there in the garden. But God gave us a picture. And Scripture tells us that when, I believe it's in Genesis chapter 3 and somewhere down around verse 17, and it says that the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. And they had made aprons to cover themselves. They tried to cover their sin with their man-made covering, but it will never work. Amen. Religion sometimes is a man-made covering. It is just the ideas of someone that caught on with a lot of other folks. Amen. But that's all there is to it. We've got to have more than just religion. We've got to have just more than just church. Amen. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. Got to have more than that. It's more than just saying, I'm a member at New Life Tabernacle and Brother Worse is my pastor. It's a whole lot more than that, my friend. You've got to be covered, amen, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so God made the decision that there was only one covering that would be good enough for all of mankind. We know in the Old Testament they offered animal sacrifices. They offered the lamb. The lamb was killed and the blood was put upon the doorpost and it became the Passover. And the Passover was to be held continually from that point on every year, once a year. But praise God, God did not design our salvation and the ability for us to stand up again on the power and the strength of an animal. An animal cannot cause you to stand up again. The only thing it can do is help you down the road a little bit there in the Old Testament. And every year when they offered the sacrifice of that lamb, the sins of the nation would be rolled forward a year. Praise God. And all of the sins of the past would go forward because there is no remission in the blood of animals. Amen. But it was in the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary that gives us our freedom from sin. It is the only covering that when we stand in the presence of God that will work. If we try to cover ourselves with money, when we stand before God, it's not going to help us. Amen. If we have possessions, it's not going to help us. If we have lots of friends, it's not going to help us. If we try to cover ourselves with fig leaves, it's not going to help us. Amen. There's only one thing that will cover our spiritual nakedness, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God, we must put him on. And so when the Lord designed this great salvation, he designed it and called it the gospel. Praise God. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read that right now. And I want to go to the resurrection part of this. But we've got to go through the first part of this. And I really feel like this is going to help somebody here this morning. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died. Everybody said he died. He died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried. Everybody said he was buried, and that he rose again. Everybody said he rose again. Rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And so the Bible tells us, the scripture that we read in the beginning, is that Jesus became the first fruits of them that slept. Well, praise God. Now I hope you'll follow with me here this morning because this is very important. In other words, the first fruit, the waving of the first fruits before the Lord, was really a picture of Jesus Christ. And what they would do in the time of harvest, they would go out into the field and they would cut a section of the field. That was a first harvest. And they would bring that cut section into the temple of God and they would wave it before the Lord. And they would thank God because whatever that first fruit was a representation of the rest of the crop. if it was moldy, if it was dead, if there was nothing to it, then that represented when the first fruit was cut out of the field, then that meant that the rest of the crop was going to be the same way. And so it became a representation of the resurrection. It became a representation of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what he was is what we have the ability to get a hold of today. Praise God. He is the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, when he went through the death, the burial, and the resurrection, that you and I have the very same thing. We can have the very same power and victory and joy in our lives that God made on that cross of Calvary. Praise the Lord. And the scripture talks about it. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45. If you're there in chapter 15, let's go down to verse 45 through verse 47. And here's why the first fruits are so valuable and so profitable to us. 1 Corinthians 15 and 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, who's this first Adam? This is the Adam of Genesis, the one that ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And who is this last Adam? Everybody said last Adam. Last Adam. Some people say Jesus was just a prophet. Some say he was Michael the archangel. There are those that believe that. There are those that just believe he was a good man that came along in time. Amen. And someone once said, and I wrote their quote down here, that is arrogant and absurd to think that the needs of all the masses of humanity with their cultural diversity and differing needs could be met in one man who hung on a cross nearly 2,000 years ago. That's how the world looks at Jesus Christ. That's how they look at him, because they don't understand who he was and who he is. And so the first Adam was the one who is created by God that we read about in Genesis. The last Adam, he didn't say the next Adam, he said the last Adam. There is not going to be another begotten Son of God. Amen. He was the one and the only one. Praise God. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Well, praise God. And so when we look at Jesus, we don't just see a good man. We don't see just a prophet. We don't just see a preacher or someone who did some things in his time period. But we see that he was the Lord from heaven. The Lord from heaven came down and conceived in Mary. And that child that was born was the Son of Man, because Mary was a human being, and he was the Son of God because God was his Father. Praise the Lord. And when that child was born, God Almighty stepped into that body, and wherever he went, God Almighty went in his fullness. That's why he could say to the wind and the waves, peace be still, and it obeyed. That's why he could say, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee, because he was God Almighty. Amen. He got hungry because he was a man. He slept in the boat because he was a man. But I'm telling you today, when he was transformed and the light shone from him on the Mount of Transfiguration, praise God, they got a glimpse of who he was. It was not just a man that died on the cross. Praise God. It was not. I believe that God was in Christ all the way until he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The moment before he became sin for you and I, the moment before that happened, God Almighty left him. and he became the propitiation and the sacrifice for you and I. Praise God. And he lay in the tomb for 3 days. But friend, I'm telling you, he didn't lay there for very long, because God had a plan of standing him up again. And the Bible says, if the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in us, that same Spirit will quicken us. In other words, you can stand back up again. Well, praise God, you can stand back up again. You don't have to fall and stay down, but you can stand back up again because of this great first fruits. Amen. When he was buried, it looked very hopeless. When he died, it looked very hopeless. And in fact, even after he rose again, there were those that were so despondent and said we had put our stock and our hope in him. And now he's been crucified, and this is the third day, and they've stolen his body. We don't know what to do. We're throwing our hands up. We have no hope or anything. And all of a sudden, a man slips up beside them and starts walking down the road with them. Praise God. And from Genesis all the way through Malachi, he gives them a real quick Bible study. Praise God, as they go down the road, and he showed them the scriptures concerning himself. Amen. And finally they realized who he was, and they said, did not our hearts burn within us as we walked by the way? You know why their hearts were burning? Is because they were down, and they were in the presence of the one who could help them stand back up again. That's why we need to be faithful to the house of God. Well, praise the Lord, because we come into the house of God with a burning in our heart. Amen. Our heart has been hurt. Our heart has been broken. Amen. Things have happened, and we don't know why they've happened. Praise God. It happens all the time, folks. We're living in this world. Amen. But when we come into the house of God, there's something that burns within us. I felt his presence. There was something different. Amen. When I went to the house of God and I began to worship God. Well, praise the Lord. And so he died, and then he was buried. And then Paul said he rose again according to the scriptures. Amen. And so here we have the gospel. Here we have the power of the resurrection, or the power of the first fruits of them that slept. Amen. He was the example of the rest of the crop. He was an example of the rest of the ingathering of people that God has ordained for the last days. And the last days are from Jesus until it's all wrapped up. Praise God. We've been living in the last days for a long time. But I got a feeling we're in the last of the last days. Amen. I'm telling you, we're in very tumultuous times. And many, many things are happening in our world today. And nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring. Nobody knows what tomorrow is going to hold. Amen. They just tested an intercontinental ballistic missile and that crazy regime in North Korea. And they said that they have now the capacity to hit the mainland of America. And they could literally shut off all electricity in a particular area of the country. It could cause millions of lives to be lost. It's that serious. Amen. Not only that, but other countries are very vulnerable today. And we have Muslim extremists. We have terrorism everywhere. I'm telling you, friend, it's time to wake up. Amen. It's time to wake up and understand that we're different than the world. Praise God. I check the news every day. I know what's going on. But after I check it out, I'm going to go on my day and try to talk to somebody about the Lord. Amen. Well, praise God. Praise God. That's what it's really all about. I'm not going to give in to the things of this world. Amen. We were out the other night, last night, in fact, and went down to Bradley Fair, where the water fountain is, and we sat down on some steps and watching the ducks and all that sort of thing. And there was a couple of people sitting in a chair, one of those long benches down there. And the young lady, it was a young lady and her mother, and she came over to us and said, "Would you like to sit on the chair?" Because we were sitting on the steps. "Oh, don't worry about that. No, no, you come over and sit down." And so we went over and sat down. And what country was she from? Honduras. She was from the country of Honduras. And we began to talk, and they began to talk, and we spent a good little time, probably a half hour, 45 minutes, just talking with these two ladies. And told them that I pastor of the church, and we talked about the church, and it didn't seem like anything came out of it. But you know what? The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and I don't believe that God causes us to pass by people just because of a happen chance situation. Well, praise God. I don't believe in happen chance situations. I believe that God orders our steps. Amen. And Scripture talks about that in many places, and I've seen it many, many times. Praise God. God's got something for those two ladies. You know what? God's got something for you today. God's got something for your future. Don't give in to your physical sickness. Don't give in to your problems and your troubles. Amen. Get a hold of the power of the resurrection. You say, "Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? I don't really understand." All right, let's look at it. Paul talked about the fact that Jesus died. Everybody say that again. He died. And that he was buried. He was buried. And then he rose again. He rose again. Praise the Lord. I'll help you with that one. Praise God. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. And I really just feel this morning. And if you can understand this, I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. All right, Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. How does that affect my life? What's that got to do with me? How does that change my life? How does that change the direction of my life into blessings from God? Well, here it is, Romans 6 and verse 6. Are y'all there? I don't want to leave anybody behind this morning. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him," everybody said with him, "with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin," or hereafter we should not serve sin. All right, so Jesus died. That's wonderful. He died. He took on the sins of the world. But in this scripture, it says that we are crucified with him. That does not mean this morning that you have to go to a literal cross and be literally crucified with Jesus Christ. There were two that were crucified with him, the thieves, one on either side. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about repentance. Romans 6 and 6 is a good biblical definition of repentance, that the old man is crucified with him. How did Jesus accomplish the crucifixion? He went to a garden of prayer. And when he went to the garden of prayer, great drops of blood came out of his face. And because of the stress of the situation. And he said, "Father, let this cup pass from me." In other words, he said, "I don't want to do this. This is going to be very difficult. This is not easy for me to do. It's a struggle here. I'm in a struggle right now. Father, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to give that much. I don't want to sacrifice that much. I don't want to hurt that much. I don't want to feel the stress like this." Amen. And so we try our very best to escape those things. If Jesus did that, I know that you and I are going to do that. We try to escape those feelings and the things that our flesh brings up in front of us. But finally, he came to the place where after he said, "Father, let this cup pass from me," I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to hurt. So on and so forth. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's right there where we can be crucified with him. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. When we are crucified with him, amen, we go through the same struggles. And we look at living for God, and we look at it and we say, oh my, I'm doing some things I'm not supposed to be doing. But sometimes when we look at those things that we're not supposed to be doing, we look at them and say, but I like that. I want to keep doing that. It makes me feel good. It gives me whatever response. And so I don't want to give that much. I don't want to do that. I don't want to. I don't want to go that far. And you can put into it your own personal situation. I know in my own personal situation, I was seeking after God, and finally the day came when I really repented, and when I repented, I wept, and I wept, and I wept over my poor, pitiful condition, and I said, I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want my life anymore. I want God's life in me. That's where we die with him. And if we don't do that, then we're not going to make it to the rest of it. Because of the very nature of a resurrection, if you want to experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost and the victory of God, there's only one way that a resurrection can be fulfilled or be done in your life, and that is that there is a death. You can't be risen again unless you die. Amen. And if we don't die out to our self-will, if we don't die out to our ways of sin and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, if we don't surrender these things to God, we will never experience the fullness of the resurrection. But thank God we have a way to stand up again. And that is to go to the place of repentance. And when we do, the Bible says that we are crucified with him. Amen. I want to be crucified with him. Paul said that I may know him. That I may know him. How many of us want to know him? That I want to know him. In the power of his resurrection. That's the goal that we're shooting for today, is the power of the resurrection, living in the power of the resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Yeah, it got quiet right there. Amen. Because we don't want to go through the fellowship of his sufferings. We don't want to go that way. We'd rather just go somewhere where they tell you, don't worry about it, just praise the Lord and put a big smile on your face and we'll all sing Kumbaya and everything will be all right. But I'm telling you, it's not going to be all right, because the Lord said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Unless we give our lives to God, we're not going to make it. Well, praise the Lord. Nothing is too important that I can't get rid of, as the song was sung this morning. Amen. And I thought, oh, we've just lost the revival this morning. Praise God. I'll give my house. I'll give everything. I'll just turn it all over to God. Amen. There's a few here this morning that don't have a house and don't have a whole lot that could say amen to all that. But the rest of us, we got a few things in this life. Well, praise God. Yeah, you can go this far, God, but as soon as you start touching a few things in my life, amen, as soon as you start touching giving and sacrifice, amen, and a little bit of pain, amen, and a little bit of struggle, I'm off the train, amen. I'm not willing to go any further on this matter. Praise God, but I'll tell you what, I want a resurrection in my life. Because I fall, and when I fall, I've got to have something that will help me to stand back up again. And maybe you're here this morning and you've fallen and you don't know how to get up. This message is for you today. Praise God, because you can get back up again. You don't have to stay where you're at. Praise God. You don't have to stay where you're at. There is an example that we have. The first fruits, Jesus Christ, who proved that it could be done. Amen. All right, so we have now died with him, hopefully. Praise God. Verse 4, go up to verse 4, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. When Jesus died, what happened next? He was buried. That's the gospel. Jesus died and he was buried. So if we die with him or we are crucified with him, then we must also be buried with him. Amen? Romans 6 and verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Praise God. And so when this old man or this old life, this old will of the flesh is dead and it has been given over to God in a complete surrender to God, God, whatever your will is for my life, that's what I want. I'm going to follow you. I'm a vessel. How did the song go this morning? I'm a vessel for you to lead. I'm going to let you lead my life. I'm going to let you guide me. Whatever direction, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do that. Then we must be buried. Amen. And this is not difficult this morning. Praise God. But he said we are buried with him by baptism. And baptism in the scripture is in the name of Jesus Christ. Not in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is our first fruits. Jesus is the one who died. We die with him. And if we're going to be buried with him, then why wouldn't we take on his name in that burial process? And that's why when we baptize, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name and you come to the water and you go down in the water, it is a spiritual burial of the old man. Amen. And when we go down, the Bible says those who have been baptized in Jesus Christ have put on Christ. And so we are now covered by the blood of Jesus Christ when we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You got to know what happened when you got baptized. It was more than a ceremony that happened at the end of the service. Amen. It was more than just something that took place because, well, yeah, okay, I'll do it. No, that's not what it is. It is a burial with him. We die with him in repentance. We are buried with him in baptism. It's with him. When we're with him and we fall, we can stand back up again. But if we're not with him, we can't stand up. We're going to continue to fall and eventually fall into mischief, and we will not be able to stand up again. Amen. I'm telling you, you can't play around with this. Well, praise God. Somebody help me this morning. You can't play around with this. Amen. You've got to have the power of the resurrection in your life, and the only way you can have that is there has to be a death and there has to be a burial. There's no other way for a resurrection to take place. Praise God. Praise God. You go to any cemetery and there's a lot of folks that are buried out there. But on a certain day, everyone is going to be resurrected. The good and the bad, all going to be resurrected someday. And death and hell is going to give up the dead that are in them. All the graves are going to give up the dead that are in them. The sea is going to give up the dead that's in it. Amen. And every man is going to be judged according to his works. I want to be able to hear God say, I don't see any sin. All I see is a covering that was made by God. The blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what happens when you're baptized in Jesus' name. And then there is the resurrection. Let's look at it, Romans 6 and verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So we rise with him. Amen. Other scriptures actually say that we are risen with Christ. Amen. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified, so on and so forth. And so if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And that's what we need right there, is the victory of the resurrection. Before the resurrection, it looked hopeless. Are you in a situation today that looks hopeless? Amen. Before the resurrection, it looked like Satan was in control. Before the resurrection, there was the suppression of the Roman army that was so big and so powerful. And nobody thought that they could ever overcome that mighty force. Amen. Sometimes it seems like there's a mighty force in your life. A mighty thing, amen, that you just have come to the place where you don't believe you can get through this. Amen. Don't get to that place where you feel that way. Praise God. I'm telling you this morning, there is a way out, and it is by being with Christ, dying with him in repentance, buried with him in baptism, and rising to walk in a newness of life in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And you say, well, where does it say that in the Bible? Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 2. And I'm trying to hurry this morning. I'm going to finish here in just a moment. But I believe God wants to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost this morning. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Amen. If someone needs help, help them find this scripture this morning. Because I want us all to see this. I know for some of you, this is old hat, but it's not old hat. Because what we have available, folks, on a daily basis is the power of the resurrection. We have it. It's available to us from God. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There's the victory right there. There is the fulfillment of the gospel. And so you can read the rest of chapter 2 when you get home today to get the whole story of the first day of the New Testament church. But verse 37, if you go down to verse 37 with me, and I'm going to read this and then one more scripture and I'm done this morning. But God's not done this morning. Acts 2 and verse 37, when they heard this, they heard the preaching of Peter. What did he preach? Verse 36, that you have crucified the Lord and Christ Jesus. Both Lord, he's made him Lord and Christ. You crucified him. And in verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Praise God. I'll tell you what you do. You obey the gospel. You get a hold of the gospel. You die out in repentance. You are buried with him in baptism. And you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the resurrection power. What did he tell them to do? Verse 38. This is Bible this morning. This is in your Bible today. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Death, burial, resurrection right there in the New Testament plan of salvation. And verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God's calling. There's a call of God that's here. Amen. And he's calling us to repentance. Praise the Lord. If you're struggling this morning, go to a place of repentance first. I heard one preacher that was sick, and he had a severe back problem, and he was praying and asking God to heal him. And somebody came along and said, the reason you've got that back problem is because there's sin in your life. You know what? That didn't offend this man. And I have high marks for him. It didn't offend him. He said, you know what I did? He said, I started repenting of all kinds of sins. He said, I repented of sins I hadn't even committed. Because it didn't hurt me to repent of something. And he started repenting and asking God to forgive him. And you know what? The day came when the healing came to him. Praise God. Praise God. We discount this thing of repentance, but it is so very powerful. We must die if there's going to be a resurrection. We must die if there's going to be a standing up again. For if we don't, we're going to stay down because sin will not let you get up. Your flesh will not let you get up. Praise God. Have I lost everybody here this morning? I hope not. Amen. But if I have, it's a good place to come to repentance and say, God, I need you more than anything. Do you feel that way this morning? God, I need you more than anything in all of the world. Praise God. One lady came to the services here in our church, and her son came with her and sat back over there about where the Tuckers are sitting this morning, and he had a broken arm. And it was in a cast, and we went back and prayed for him right there. We didn't have all these pews in the middle at that time. Went back and prayed for him. And when we did, God healed that arm. Healed it completely. And he went back the next day to the doctor, and the doctor said, I don't know what's happened, but your arm is healed. And they took the cast off of his arm. And somebody asked the mother that was there in that service, oh, isn't that exciting? God healed your son's broken arm. Oh, we're going to have service. We were having revival services every night back then. And she said, oh, I won't be back. You won't be back? No, I won't be back. Why? She said, I don't want to get that close to God. Because somewhere down in her heart, in her spirit, there was something she didn't want to give up. There was something that she didn't want to turn loose in her life. And if you're that way this morning, don't stay down. Amen. It's not worth hanging on to. Just give it to God. Amen. Just turn it loose and give it to God, and a great resurrection power will flood your soul. Romans 8 and verse 26, here's where we can walk in the victory. And church, I hope you hear this morning. I hope we're listening today. Are y'all listening today? I hope you're not just listening, but you're getting a hold of this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. And that infirmity, that word there means sickness. It means weakness. It means shortcomings. We all have those. The Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever been in prayer and you're just like, God, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to ask for. I don't know what direction to go. Thank God we have something that's more powerful than our mind, our logic, our physical person. We have the Holy Ghost. That's why we must have the Holy Ghost. And he says we know not what we ought to pray for. So what do we do when we don't know what to pray for? Here's where it it tells us. But the Spirit, everybody said the Spirit. The Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then the scripture that we quote quite often, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Praise God. How can we really know that scripture unless we have the Holy Ghost in us? We can't. But we must find a place to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. If you have not received the Holy Ghost yet, I'm just here to encourage you that when you're at home praying, or when you come to the altar at church and you're praying, and all of a sudden something comes over you and you can't speak English clearly and it becomes difficult, that's when you need to let God fill you with the Holy Ghost, and you'll begin to speak in another tongue as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And it's more than just speaking in tongues. It is what Jesus said, a river of living water. It's the river of life that's going to be in heaven. Praise God, crystal clear. Washes out any impurities. Takes care of all situations. And when we get in the Holy Ghost and we're praying and we're speaking in tongues, the Spirit itself is making intercession for us. I don't know all the dynamics of that, but I do know that it works. And when the Holy Ghost is moving in your prayer time and you're speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, things are happening in the realm of the Spirit that you could never manipulate or do by your own power and wisdom. It's impossible. When was the last time you spoke in tongues? Have you ever spoken in tongues as the Holy Ghost comes into your life? I'm telling you, friend, it's not good enough to look back and say, well, it happened 30 years ago. It happened 50 years ago. It happened 5 years ago. No, I'm telling you, we need the Holy Ghost every day. You know why? Because if we're not careful, we're going to fall. And if we don't have God in our life, we're not going to be able to get back up. But that's what makes real Christianity what it is. We have a resurrection today. Can we stand together this morning? Come on, let's stand together today. Praise God. Can we just lift our hands right now and lift our voices to God? Can we do that? Come on, church. That's it. I hear some praying this morning. Amen. We fight the devil, we fight the world, we fight our flesh. The Bible says we are as sheep before the slaughter, sheep among wolves, but we're not alone. Praise God, because we have the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. There's a scripture in the book of Revelation, and I don't understand everything about the book of Revelation. Some say they do, and God bless them. I'll listen to what they have to say. But there's a place in the book of Revelation where there was a book that had to be opened. And everybody in heaven and in earth, they called around, who can open the book? Who can do this? And they said, nobody. There was no one in heaven. There was no one on the earth. There was no one that stood up and said, I can open the book. I don't know what was in that book, but I think it was the gospel. Nobody could open it. You can't open it. I can't open it. I can't open a way of salvation for my life. And John looked at the situation. It was pitiful. It was hopeless. And the Bible says he just began to weep. Nobody can open this book. Nobody can open this book of salvation. Nobody can open the book of the gospel. And then he said, I turned and looked, and there was a lamb. I saw a lamb. And everybody began to rejoice because the lamb could open the book. The book of salvation. He's the only one who could be the first fruits. He was the only one that could open the door, if you please, to New Testament salvation that is so glorious. Praise God. This glorious salvation that we have today when can cleanse, can help, can strengthen, and can lift you up. Praise God. You don't have to stay down. You can be lifted up.
Yes.
Praise God. Let's lift our hands one more time. Let's lift our hands one more time. And if you need the Holy Ghost, I want you to come this morning. I want to pray for you that God will fill you with the Holy Ghost this morning, because it's for you. It's for your children, for your grandchildren, those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.